With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Babe.
I'm Laura.
And I'm Ryan.
And this is...
Babe.
Hi.
Hello. That's the Valerie Cherish.
Oh, yeah, that is the Valerie.
Hello.
Welcome to Babe, the podcast where...
What do we do?
Ryan and I...
Hang out.
And talk. And troll each other and lol.
And check in on each other's babe levels. What?
No, I just love it. So now we're getting serious about podcasting. And before,
this is a re-record. I mean, the readers need to know.
The readers need to know.
We recorded something on Friday, which, by the way, I think they would have been fine with. But Laura was like, no.
You also were like, I think we should re-record. And I was like, thank you for seeing that was not us giving our best.
I mean, actually really liked it. I liked it, but it was dark. I mean, whatever.
It wasn't. It was like, it just wasn't right. Sometimes you have to do it a couple times. Right, this is rich coming from you. Finding a way to just irritate me off the bat.
I give.
I'm like, Ryan, what should we talk about? And then he just stared into the distance today and like picked food
it's
out of his
teeth.
It's
hard to be inspired sometimes.
You seem to be inspired a lot, so I'm unclear on that.
I always get it up.
But I'm, so to speak. But so I'm also sick.
You're sick.
Sick of it all. And
got trashed last night.
I know.
Oh!
Well, I need like...
Secrets.
I need a little bit of help from my co-host.
I'm helping.
And he just really does not like...
Turned up last night.
I didn't turn up like crazy.
No.
I had wine.
Who turned up though was Jonathan.
Really?
Yeah. He's trashed.
I mean, we all drank a lot of wine last night.
We do. I mean, we went over to friend Grit and Kyle's, which always ends up being kind of a boozy affair. But it's spread out... amongst like four or five. It's a long journey.
Yeah, it was a long journey of like wine and pizza.
Yeah,
and
we
like
eat a lot when we go over.
We
there.
Eat a lot.
We honey hog the fuck out.
Yeah, we honey hog.
We close the blinds.
We reached peak honey hog last night.
Yeah. And so it doesn't feel like you don't really understand like how drunk you are until you like stand up and you like go to leave. You're like, ooh. But I wasn't that drunk, to be honest.
Yeah, I felt like medium drunk, and then I was like kind of stoned, and then I felt like I was in a good place by the end of the night.
The night before, I had gone to Whack Bar, the neighborhood gay bar, and I had closed it down, honey.
Oh, yeah. You had a night out on the town.
Woo!
What did you do there?
Woo!
Did you dance?
No, I talked. I talked to friends. I talked to Price Peterson, a dear babe reader.
Oh yeah,
love you,
sweet
Price.
Reader.
The price is always right.
The price is always right.
I'm sure he's heard that 40,000 times. Maybe not. Who knows? I talked to a friend of Kyle's, another friend of mine, for a while, and then. I don't know. It's weird. Like when I go to Akbar, it never ceases to amaze me how many people I know there and how you just kind of like seamlessly fall into conversations with like random mo's.
Yeah.
And it's just sort of like, and then they're like fun, good conversations and you just kind of like flit away and go about your life and blah, blah, blah. It's a good community. It is.
Yeah. I mean,
sometimes it trolls because you're like, it truly is whack-a-mo. Like it's literally every gay person you've met coming to take your soul.
Yeah.
/ just talk to you.
Well, it's just like every gay person on the east side goes there.
It's a lot.
It's interesting. And I love that for you. And I love that for everyone that goes there. And I love that I choose to stay away.
That's so silly that you do that. That's like your target demo. You just turn your back on your fans.
No, it's like...
You turn your back on your fans.
I'm doing an Olsen thing, which is if I withhold and am elusive, then they want me more.
Well, okay.
And it's like Akbar is a whole thing for me.
You don't like going.
I don't love it.
Okay.
It's not my place of choice. We had actually very different journeys on Friday night.
Yeah, you just like went to Prime Pizza and
I didn't go to Prime Pizza. Do you ever listen to anything I say, or do you just live in your own world of Ryan O'Connell's rules?
What do you think?
I went to a Dark Star Orchestra show, which was a Grateful Dead cover band.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. And that is like, actually, like, the fans of the Grateful Dead are babes.
Really? Well, yeah. I imagine. It's kind of babe music.
It's definitely babe music. It's a lot of like older, it's primarily men. It's like straight men, but they're all...
You don't say.
They're all very old.
You don't say.
They're pretty old. They're like in their 50s or 60s with like kind of overweight, long hair.
But then, I don't believe you.
And then some of them are like dad looking. And then some of them are like hot older guys.
Really?
Yeah, but a lot of them are like trolls.
And Dick Cohen is a Grateful Dead fan.
Yeah, he's like kind of a unicorn in a way, because I don't feel like I see a lot of gay men at Grateful Dead concerts.
I think Andy Cohen has just enough internalized homophobia to be a Grateful Dead fan. Just enough.
But it's not a homophobic environment.
No, I know. I'm just being a bitch.
Okay. Well, I don't appreciate it. Don't talk about my people that way.
Talk about Andy.
That shows my Akbar.
Fair enough.
And so it's just funny because it's like, it's a lot of like trolly looking guys, but they're also really nice for the most part.
Did you get stoned?
Yeah, I got stoned. I brought my vape pen and then was vaping it up. I got stoned and was weirdly, I was drinking like tall boys of beer.
Ew,
which was really out of character.
Gross. God, you were babing out.
No, I was just like, I was like babe neutral.
Okay.
I was pretty neutral.
Nutra babe.
And so there was this moment though, they played, so Dark Star Orchestra, typically their whole shtick is that they will cover an entire show that the Grateful Dead has done, like song for song. Mm-hmm. But this time they just went rogue and chose their own songs they wanted to play, like didn't cover a show. So people were really like wilding out over that. Wow. But I was standing behind this like beautiful young couple, and it was, they played like a slow song, and this couple, it was like this hot guy who kind of looked like Anwar Hadid and his girlfriend, who was like casual in a hoodie, and they were just like making out and like cuddling each other, and I truly just stood.
Did you feel sad?
No, I felt happy.
Oh, good.
I felt like I just stood behind them and like sucked up the energy of their love.
And
I was like,
and then you wedged your head in.
No, like, I thought about like trying to touch them, and I was like, I'm not going to ruin their moment. You're like, but I will stand behind them a little too close and stare at them for the entirety of the song. And it was really beautiful. And I was just like, oh my God, love is real. Like it's all around us.
I can just
like,
see you truly popping up your head behind them.
No, like, I was right behind them.
Yeah, like, I can see that.
And I could feel,
I can visualize that.
I could feel the energy, which further, like, I was like, I'm psychic and also an energy like healer in some ways. I was like feeling their love energy like infiltrate my body, and had like a true moment with them that they are not aware of, but I was very aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And
some
then,
people might call that a psychotic episode, but
I call it being stoned at a Grateful Dead cover band show. Mm-hmm. And then my friends that I went to the concert with and I, we all like decided to like get up really close to the stage and try and ride the rail for like the rest of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And we got close, and lo and behold, like a mirage in the desert, a group of four smoking hot, model-y, like bros just like appeared. I've never seen like such hot men at a Grateful Dead show.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't trust it.
No, I was like, what?
I wouldn't trust it.
I was staring at them, and I just like did not understand. It was,
I'd
like,
call the police if I were you.
It was like one looked like a Tom of Finland gay.
Oh wow.
With
he
a
was
mustache.
He was, he wasn't gay? He was straw?
Yeah, they were all straight. One looked like
How
Timothy
do you know
Chalamet.
They were straight?
Babe, they're fucking straight.
I don't know, babe.
Honey, it was not.
It's weird that you like live in a world where like literally you can identify it so straight, because honestly you never know.
Babe, they were straight. Okay. They were.
Okay.
One looked like Timothy Chalamet.
You're literally like you're in your psychotic episode haunting this couple.
I did haunt them. And then I looked at the straight guys and I just stared at them because it was, and it was like, it was so weird the way they like form, like their formation, because mm-hmm. it was the Tom of Finland one. Then there was one that looked like Timothy Chalamet, and they were guarding the alpha male, who was like this like blonde, like all American looking boy. They were all at least, they were all 6 foot two or higher or taller. And then there was like kind of a straggler who was like a cutie, but you could tell he's like not as hot as the others. And he like is like probably the funny one or like whatever.
I love how like hot straight guys who you think never think about looks like too gay. Like they all travel in like hot packs.
They traveled in a hot pack.
Like, but they know that. They know that. They're aware of like they their hotness level. And like they hang out with other hot straight guys. No homo. But it's real.
Yeah.
So they know what they're, they know what they're giving out.
They know what they're giving out. And so I had like had my eye on them. And then my friend Christine was like, you should go up and dance with them. But then I got to, I was like, no, I can't like, I need to like enjoy. Babe, no, I don't.
Have your little harem of
honey,
cuties.
I don't like to be pushed into situations. So.
Oh my God.
Don't. And so I waited till the end of the show and then had like an interaction with kind of the straggler one.
I literally say like, you should talk to a boy and you're like,
no, I like, hate when people
just
tell
say,
me
you should talk to a boy. I'm like saying that and you're like freaking out.
No, I will actually like cut someone when they tell me to
That's
do that.
Strange.
It's a it's That's kind a of a weird thing. Babe thing, and I'm working on unpacking it, and I'm trying to get it. But I don't like being pressured.
But that's just me saying, like, on a podcast, like, oh, like, you should have talked to that guy.
No.
And you freak out.
No, I'm about to flip out. I have, like, crazy eyes right now.
I know, but that's strange, and you should unpack
Guess
that.
Guess what? I understand that it's strange, and it's my journey at the current moment, and I am aware.
Okay.
So at least there's that.
That's good.
At least I'm not, like... No, it's not strange. Why would you call it strange? Fuck you. Like,
yeah, that's good.
Start a fight. I get it. It's strange.
Okay.
But I don't like to be pushed. Let's move on. So at the end of the show.
Push us into a new conversation. scared.
Stop.
Okay.
Babe.
Babe. Babe.
The straggler talked to me. And then I was like, maybe if I bond with him, it will
Oh, he did
me.
Talk to you.
He did. But then I was like, I don't want the straggler. I want the alpha male, like blondie, the one that had to be protected by Timothy and the Tom of Finland.
You don't want the one with the personality.
No. And I was like, having just like visions of what, like I would ideally like
Again,
to.
Again with the visions.
Ideally, I would just
visions,
like to
haunting.
Talk all of them uh-huh. into like a group sex scenario where they like they kind of suck each other's dicks and fuck each other. And then I'm there and like we're all just like free love. And then I'm like, bye. And they're like, you opened up our world. And I'm like, I know. See you at the next concert. And then like leave and we text and it's like, lol, we're on a group chain.
Oh, that's great.
But the and so the straggler reached out and I was like, maybe
grateful
this is me.
Give
like,
me head.
Yeah, great. Well, give me head. And I was like, maybe this is my opportunity to like get into the group. And he's like, you like this show? Well, we had like a little bit of small talk. Oh. And then I thought that they all had gone away, but they were waiting for an Uber. So me and my group walked over to them and I was like, hey, what's up? And they and then the straggler was kind of weird to me.
Oh, weird.
I was like, where are you guys off to? And he's like, Santa Monica. And then I was just
Ew.
Like, Santa Monica. Like, I couldn't
Satan
be flirty.
Monica.
I was like, Santa Monica? And then he got defensive and was like, yeah, where are you going? And I was like, I'm going like a mile that way and getting pizza. And then he was like, ugh. And then I gave him my phone number.
What? Wait, this is a twist. I did not see the conversation turning this way.
But I gave him my phone number.
Wait,
because
why?
I don't know. I just like, felt
wait,
like
how
it.
Did it even happen, though? Like, how did that even happen?
I just said, do you want my phone number?
What? Are you fuck? You didn't tell me this.
Well, babe, because it was just like a...
That is weird.
It was weird.
Like, literally unprompted. Like, you guys are not in a good place in your relationship, and so you just offer up your phone number.
That's, yeah.
Okay. I mean, actually, I'm here for it.
Yeah, I mean,
I
why
can't
not?
Vocalize that I'm here for it, because someone
No,
might
I know
triggered.
You're here. Stop.
But someone... I'm totally neutral babe on this.
Well, I gave him my phone number. I don't think he saved it into his phone. And then the Timothy Chalamet bro was like, yeah, that's my boy. And I was like,
ew.
I go, ew, stop. And then I was over it. And then I was like, of course, these like straight guys. I think they were also like 21 years old, which I'm not opposed to. I
no.
thought maybe I need like a hot,
you
younger.
You want to have fun? You want to have fun?
What's the issue?
What's the issue?
What's the issue?
Fun? What's the issue? You want to have fun?
What's the issue? What's going on? What's the issue? So anyways, that was that.
Why are we going round and round?
Why are we going round and round? What are we going round and round about? What's the issue?
Okay, so that brings us to...
Well, no.
Wait,
not,
no. Not yet?
No.
Why? I want to talk about it now.
No.
It's fresh in my mind.
Okay, fine.
So I want to talk about Real Housewives. I don't know how many of the readers like watch Real Housewives, but I assume kind of a lot.
TBH. I think a lot. Yeah.
If you like babes, I mean, you've come to the right place.
Yeah.
It's like Babe Central over there. Kyle Richards tweeted at me because I tweeted.
Oh, yeah.
I tweeted initially. I said.
You cyberbullied her.
Of course I did. I said, I want Kyle Richards to love herself enough to stop engaging in this Machiavellian friendship with Lisa Vanderpump. Also, if she has time, she should stop wearing bell sleeves.
Which is a good burn.
It is a burn. It is. It's a...
Because she needed a bell sleeve intervention.
Yeah, people need to stop ringing that bell.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, no. So she actually tweeted at me saying, when was I wearing bell sleeves?
Are you not wearing bell sleeves?
Well, she wasn't.
Oh, and I said, in that episode.
And I said, well, you weren't that night, but only because New York banned them in 2008. And she, because they were in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And no response. But I got deluged.
Yeah, there was a deluge
of like comments. And I mean, let's just be honest. Like,
did people take Kyle's back?
Yeah. And it's like, people were like,
what are her fans called?
It's really, babe. There were women being like, Kyle could wear a potato sack and rock it. She has the best style out of anyone I know. And I was like, are you unwell? And I literally like clicked on her photo and she looked like a melted crayon.
I love like, that. What else did they say?
She looked like she worked at like, you know, like World Market, Cost Plus, whatever. Like,
honey.
What? Am I being bitchy?
You're being really bitchy.
I'm sorry.
Honey.
Why are we going
you
round
better
and
watch
round?
Yourself.
Why are we going round
What's
and
the
round?
Issue?
What's the issue? Why are we going round and round?
What are we going round and round about?
So, listen. So, anyway, it was a lot of people defending Kyle's style. Which I thought was incredible. Incredible. Kyle dresses truly insane. Her style is
bad.
Her style is really
categorically bad.
Really bad. She just sees curtains and then she rips them off herself and then puts them all over her body.
Yeah.
Like, it's not good. But I really did. I believed in what I tweeted. And I really do think she should stop engaging in her Machiavellian friendship with Lisa Vanderpump because it's dark as fuck. And I feel really bad for Kyle. I root for Kyle. I think Lisa Vanderpump is like lightly dead inside and she really does use her friendships only for like power. Whereas I think Kyle is actually incredibly sensitive, but I think she grew up in a very abusive family environment. So she's sort of like Stockholm syndrome with like people like Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly meant what I said. I wish that Kyle would like love herself enough, like Sasha go to therapy and realize that like friendships like the one she has with Lisa Vanderpump don't serve her because they're not genuine.
Yeah.
They're all for power plays. And like Kyle and the whole situation of going to New York was truly insane. Basically, Kyle came to Lisa's defense because Dorit was like saying some things that Lisa had said to her in confidence. And so Kyle was like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to come to Lisa's defense. That will get me some brownie points with her. And so Kyle did that. And Lisa stayed completely silent during the whole thing. So Kyle's defending her completely on her own. And she's sort of thinking like, what the fuck, bitch? Like, I'm coming to your defense. Like, help me out.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did Lisa not help Kyle out, but when it came time for everyone to go, Dorit was obviously melting down because she was getting attacked. And she's like, I'm going home. And Lisa was like, oh, I'll go with you. So not only is it a slap in the face for Kyle to not, you know, get backed up by Lisa, but Lisa actually abandons Kyle to be with Dorit, who was the one talking shit on Lisa. Basically, it's just really insane. And it's a very toxic friendship. And I really hope that Kyle gets the help she needs.
You know what, Lisa? So when we say like, what's the issue? We're referring to that like Lisa Rinna moment where she
Lisa
like
got drunk.
Drunkenly inserts herself.
We've talked about how I think Lisa is a faux babe. She's a wannabe babe, which is actually a rare breed of babe.
Yeah,
she wants
still
to
like
be a
babe.
She's not really a babe. She wants to be a babe. Like her whole Instagram presence are these like funny memes of her taking pills or drinking too much wine when the reality is she probably gets drunk twice a year and only takes multivitamins. Yeah. Like she wants to have this image of her as being like this like fun-loving kind of boozy girl, and she's not.
But then the fact that she perpetuates that and then tries to be that
is a babe.
So she is getting... She in is a roundabout a babe way, after all.
She is a babe after all, but it takes a few circles to get there.
But I think
we have
Lisa,
to go round and round.
Lisa Vanderpump did like a really thing that I truly hate, which is like she put her hand on Lisa Rinna's face and like pushed it away. And I just think that it's so
disrespectful.
Disrespectful touch to me. Touch people's faces.
Yeah.
Like to push their faces. Yes. And like cover them up. That's like an aggressive.
It's degrading.
That's a degrading, abusive, aggressive move.
Yeah.
I demand an
apology. Lisa's not the one. Lisa is not the one. I mean, she's funny. She's a dry bitch. Like, but she's like extremely cold. And I'm not here for that. And I actually think Kyle has a big heart. And I just wish that, you know.
I love that for you.
She feels herself. So, I don't know what that had to do with anything.
It didn't.
Okay.
It didn't have to do with anything.
I think it's important.
But you needed to talk, about it. Yeah. And you needed to live your truth.
And also to all the women who added me defending Kyle's style, saying that she could rock a potato sack.
No.
You're wrong.
Yeah.
And you're the babe. Yes. You're the babiest of them all.
Incorrect.
Incorrect. Moving
Incorrect.
On.
Moving on. We wanted to talk a little bit about
my skin. I thought you'd never ask.
Oh my God.
So my back knee's flaring up again.
So Ryan tried to talk about...
I've had a really fucked up week with my skin. I've been at my derm constantly.
So Ryan really wanted to talk about his back knee, which is something he's tried to do on previous episodes. And I've cut it out.
Because I didn't know about because I don't listen to the podcast.
Yeah, well, babe, this is my clarion call to you to get more involved.
She literally was like, I cut it out every time you mention it. And I'm like,
yeah, because that grosses me out. I don't really want to talk about your back knee.
But I want to bring awareness to it. Because
maybe it's because I also have back knee and I'm also like...
Oh, well, then that's your own shit.
I know, but I don't want any back knee conversation. But well, I guess it's fucking happening now.
Baby got back knee. Okay.
Anyways, I guess go ahead.
So I've had a really traumatic week with skin. So I got a I got a massage, not at my usual place because my usual guy was busy, and my muscles were really tight because like CP, duh. And I, like in a moment of weakness, went to a place that was not chic, and I've gone there before, and it's actually not that bad. But I went and I got a massage and the guy was like too rough with me. Like on like the front of my legs, he was like really pounding them kind of. And I'm like, that's just bone, honey. You can't really massage. Like, I mean, that's not like a deep tissue massage hotspot. Let's put it that way. And then I was like living, laughing and loving that night out with friends. And I like noticed that my legs were kind of like burning, almost like a sunburn. And I like undressed and I saw that there was just like red bumps all over my leg. And it turned out it was a hair follicle infection. Basically, like what happened is he probably like ripped some hair off and then like with the lotion or whatever, something got infected. I don't know. It's disgusting.
It's so, not that bad.
Oh, it's fine now. I mean, I went to the urgent care and they like injected me with steroids and antibiotics and then I got them filled and I didn't use them because I was like, I don't want to hurt my body in this way. And it went away. I just feel like I understand being aggressive, but I don't, my body is my temple. Okay.
So and, that's the story.
And yeah, but then, okay, so then... Then I got blue light therapy treatment on my back because my back knee just is like not, it's popping up again. It's really annoying because I got rid of it a year ago and now it's fucking back like for a farewell tour. I don't fucking know. So I got blue light therapy done and it like burned and hurt. And so I'm just dealing with that. Okay, fine. Maybe there really isn't a lot to talk about, but I just want people to know like what I've been through and what my skin goes through and how my skin's journey truly never ends. And I'm so jealous of people like Jonathan who have like literally the most beautiful, precious skin and don't do a goddamn thing. Meanwhile, I do everything I can and everything just seems to get worse.
But babe, I've also told you that maybe you should on an elimination diet. What? You like the drama of like having something to deal with more than you like trying to come up with a real solution.
That is not true. You think I want back knee? That's hurtful.
No, I think that you just won't do certain things. It might help
you. I don't want to eliminate because I feel like you go to those places and they lie to you. Like, it's like...
What? You go to those places and eliminate... You don't go anywhere to have an elimination diet.
No, but I would go to an allergist and they would tell me what I'm allergic to, essentially.
You could do that, but you could also do like
an
elimination
diet. I'd go to an allergist.
Okay, well, why don't you try that since it seems that all the other stuff that you do doesn't
maybe
work.
Maybe I am allergic to something.
I've been telling you that. I think that you're allergic to alcohol.
But no, but I've given up alcohol and it has not changed. My back knee.
You have to give it up for longer than 2 weeks to see a difference. You know that
how
that's
long?
True. Probably like 3 months to
you
really
just
see.
You want me to be allergic to alcohol.
No, I don't, Ryan.
You want that.
You've told me things about you and alcohol that I was like, this is not normal.
Like how...
You said it, every time you drink, it burns when you pee.
No, it does not. That's a lie.
That is not a lie. You told me that.
It doesn't happen every time, just sometimes. I know, someone's like calling 911.
You're truly like Dean and delusional about this skin thing, which is why I cut it out, because it's like, it's one of those things that's in our friendship that we talk about offline.
But and no one else needs to be subjected to it?
Yeah, and that also okay. is like... But it's also like a thing where
also
it's like,
in the deleted episode that you'll never see, Laura talks about gaining 10 pounds for a good solid 45 minutes.
Well,
before realizing that maybe she shouldn't talk
well,
about
I also talk because I was like, I did gain a little weight. Thank okay, you for bringing it up.
Now we go round and round. Why are we going round and round?
I did gain a little weight, and I know because I just like couldn't put my pants on and like couldn't button them up, and I was like, ooh, well, things have gotten out of control, yeah. So it seems. And normally, I think in like a pre-medication world, this would really like bring me down a lot, or it would be a reason to like really beat myself up for the fact that it's like, oh my God, I'm so fat, like blah, 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 which is my own thing because I'm not like, I'm not fat and like... The reality is the only person that notices this weight gain is me.
Yeah.
And then we were talking about it and Ryan was like really not understanding and like really like aggressive towards me about it. If I mean, totally honest. And then, but I realized.
I'm sad you missed it.
I realized that the reason he's like that and like I'm like that towards him when he complains about gaining so like 5 pounds, it like it infuriates me. And like, then I just realized it's like, the only people that care about this, no one wants to hear about that. I mean, obviously, if you're having like a lot of problems and you're gaining like a shit ton of weight and like thing, and it's like things are not going well, then like definitely reach out to someone. But like your own body insecurities,
you're like YOLOing or whatever. Like
it's not anything to beat yourself up about. And even if you did gain a bunch of weight, like your whatever number is like on the scale is not indicative of who you are as a person. And that's like what I was really trying to get at is being like, with this like with this moment where my pants aren't fitting, it does not mean that I'm like a disgusting, horrible human being that like doesn't deserve love. It just means that like I ate a lot of pizza.
I love that your brain like literally immediately like parks the car and lives there.
Well, babe, that's like
it's like literally like that's like the first stop.
Well, yeah, that's a real thing for me.
Oh, I know.
That's a real thing for like any sort of like fuck up, and especially like because I was relating it also back to like my struggles with like money and financial stuff. And that's been like a real journey in the last year of being like the number that's in my bank account does not reflect like my life and who I am as a person. And so, and also it's like, how do I be like more kind to myself? And like, how do I not just like beat the fuck out of myself for these things that are largely insignificant? And
yeah. You don't want $1 million baby yourself.
Yeah.
That's
because
not
it's like,
worth it.
But it's hard, especially like, because it's like my whole like persona most of the time is like live, laugh, love, like lol about everything. But the reality is that I'm like the hardest person on myself, like more than anyone. And it's like often in the past have used like these little fuck ups as being like, it's just like in my head gets like really dramatic. And it's like, you fucked up everything. Like you're such a failure, like blah, blah, blah.
Oh my God.
So it's indicative of like a larger... It's not about the 10 pounds. It's about like how I process it and like let myself live.
Well, at least you're checking it and then knowing not to go down that road. That's all you can really do. Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Please stick to the rivers and lakes that you used to.
Yeah. And
actually,
it's such
don't.
A vicious...
Stick to the rivers and lakes that you used to. Find a new route.
Yeah, find a new route.
Do not go to the
get
river.
Get in a kayak and like kayak
and get the
away.
Fuck out of
get
there.
Get the fuck out of the river.
Go to different waterfalls, honey.
Yeah.
Chase other waterfalls.
I know, but I had this like realization recently in therapy, which was like, it's such a vicious cycle of like self-loathing. Because like if a little thing like this happens, like the 10 pounds or whatever, then I'm like... Well, like, what the fuck is wrong with me? Like, nothing matters. Like, I guess I'm just gonna like eat whatever I want and I'll stop working out because it doesn't even matter anyways. And like, I'm such a failure. I don't even deserve to like try and deal with this. Like, I deserve to just be like a fat idiot.
Oh my God, honey. And
like, but that's like real. And so,
I know, I just didn't know it was like that severe.
Yeah. And then so I go into this like really negative place and then self-sabotage to like further punish myself. Mm-hmm. Then it just becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy where it's like 10 pounds will turn into 20 pounds or 10 pounds and will just turn into no exercise, which is like no serotonin, which makes me feel more sad. And it's like a way to just punish myself.
The vicious cycle.
Yeah. Sickly. And so I've done that also with like, especially with like personal writing deadlines or like any sort of like personal thing outside of like podcast stuff where it's like, I'll like not meet a deadline that I set for myself and then go through this whole like, oh, you're so stupid and like failure. And then I just will abandon something and then it'll be like months go by and I'm like, God, you're such an idiot. And so it's like, I'm really trying to be aware of that and change that. So it's like, okay, well, your jeans don't fit. It's fine. Like whatever. And like, just go like on a run or like, don't go, like, just don't assign so much weight to it. Like it's not an indicator of who you are.
So much weight.
Yeah.
You would say maybe describe 10 pounds. Maybe.
So I had this like kind of breakthrough in therapy.
Good.
Yeah. But then I'm no longer seeing my therapist.
Yeah, because she gave you some bad advice.
She gave me really bad advice. And I thought I was going to like give her like 5 sessions to see how I liked it. But then she gave me this terrible advice and I was like, I can't.
Yeah, she told you to do one thing a day.
Yeah, I was talking to her about like,
not enough.
I was like telling really her about enough. Sometimes I get overwhelmed and like my anxiety is and like blah, blah, blah. And then she was like, well, for the next like 2 weeks until we see each other again, I just want you to resolve that you're going to do one thing every day. Just one. Like, don't use your to-do list. And I was like, wait, bitch, what the fuck are you talking about?
Right.
Like, I have a to-do, like coming up and like, I recently got into to-do lists, which really make life a lot easier for me. And so I keep like a running to-do list of like just breaking things down to like the simplest, like just simple steps. And it has allowed me to be like far more productive and like organized. And she's like telling me to abandon this tool that I learned that's like improved my life and then do one thing a day. I was like, babe, the one thing a day that I do is like get out of bed is like a one thing.
Yeah, that's
thing
not
a day.
Enough. I would say you definitely need to do more than one thing a day.
Yeah.
And if you like don't, make if myself you only did one breakfast. Thing a day,
like
it would
washing
be very
my
sad.
Face is like one thing a day. Yeah. Taking a shower, like going outside, like no, I need to do like 20 things a day.
My therapist gave me kind of similar advice, but in a roundabout way. Like I went back to therapy too. My first session was last week. And I wrapped Will and Grace 3 weeks ago, 3.5 weeks ago. And I haven't really been working that much because I've just been kind of traveling and just kind of going back into the world a little bit because I've been working for the last year. And I've been feeling kind of guilty about that because I'm such an insane workaholic and I like having 20 things going on.
You love to work.
I love to work. That's productivity truly is my drug. And I was actually really enjoying kind of taking it easy for a couple of weeks. But I also felt really guilty about that and really scared. I feel like I have these feelings of like, if I stop the train from moving, like I'll never be able to get back on or something like that. It's like it needs to move at all times. Like and then it's like, oh, I don't want to be left behind.
Well, you're also like a fighter. You know what I mean? Like you've like fought hard and worked so hard for everything you have that it's like, and you've always been like, you've like self-conditioned to do that.
Yeah. So it's like, I like to have fun, obviously. Like I'm a work hard player. What? She
like, no, you do like to
I like to have fun.
I like to have fun.
I'm not just like sitting home on a Saturday night like crunching.
No, you pay, work like, hard and play hard.
I work hard, I play hard. So it's like
you have a good balance between
the two. I do, for sure, because I do like to relax and I do like to go on vacation and do all that stuff, obviously, as the readers know. But it needs to be balanced with some work. Now, I've been lucky to be working nonstop for the last almost 2 years now, but right now I'm kind of in a place where my future is a little bit more TBD. So the pressure is on me to generate more material, to come up with new ideas. And, you know, it's just a little scarier place to be, for me. But my therapist is like, just enjoy, cause I was like, I feel really weird. I'm just like, my days are weirdly busy, but I don't know how or with what, but like, they're just kind of, I'm having fun. I don't know. I feel like I'm just having fun and like enjoying life and kind of like reemerging from this K-hole of being in a lot of writer's rooms or writing, you know, whatever, having writing assignments. So it feels good. And my therapist was just like, you just need to like honor that and like actually be okay with like not doing that much right now.
Yeah. And that's good advice. That's yeah. not
well,
bad
that being
advice.
Said, I just started the new, I'm fine. Now I'm back yeah, to work. Now I'm back to work again and I'm feeling good. but you know, and no, it's all good, but yeah. And I need to stop having this irrational fear of like, if I stop working for 3 weeks that my career will somehow insanely backslide. It's hard. Being a writer is really difficult. Being a TV writer is really difficult. It's not the funnest existence. I mean,
no,
it's, but it's like, well, the only thing I can do and the only thing I want to do, but the amount of stress and pressure you have to come up with new ideas, to be pitching, it's draining. I mean, and you don't always feel creative. That's the thing too. Like when Will and Grace wrapped, I was like, well, I, you know, was on this show. I wrote all the scripts for Special when on the weekends. And then before that, I wrote a movie. And then before that, I was in a room. Like, I just did not stop. And so I felt very, I just felt like I didn't have anything. I felt kind of just like, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know what I want to say. I don't know. So, it's fine, but it's just a little stressful, but it's all good now.
Anyway. Yeah.
Sorry.
Anyway.
Whatever.
Anyways.
Sorry.
Apologize.
Sorry.
I love that you're like, it's just been so hard, like being on a network show, like making like lots of money. Like, what do I want to say? It's like,
no, that's not what it's about.
No, and I know that's not what it's about. But it's also just like,
no, but it's scary because it's like also now I don't have a job. You know what I mean? So it's a little bit like.
But I have faith in you.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
I wonder if this means I'll start getting jobs because you're...
Shut up. You always say that. It's so weird.
Well, no. I mean, that was like the last time.
Yeah, that's why you haven't been working, Laura. That's the reason. You really cracked the code there. It's really the reason why you haven't worked in 2 years. It's because I've had a job.
Yeah. And now that you're jobless, yeah. It's my time.
Now it's your turn. Exactly.
Let's talk about the babe of the decade, Fergie. We just need to touch on it briefly because
it feels
old.
It feels to say in Fergie parlance, it feels 2000 and late to even bring it up.
Yeah, it is 2000 and late because it happened literally a week ago. But like, we just need to have a moment and be like, excuse
babe.
Me.
Yeah.
Babe.
It's a babe dot dot dot. It's
That was like.
It was horrific.
I could not stop watching it.
Yeah.
It's a train wreck in slow motion. I need to know, like, who came up with the idea to do... I just don't understand who decided that Fergie was the best person to do, like, a jazzy, sexy version of the national anthem. Like, I feel...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Like, there are certain singers that could do that version and really kill it.
But
and Fergie is not the
but
one.
But I'm glad that she did it because I truly believe that that's the national anthem we deserve right now.
Did you see that tweet?
No.
Oh, someone had like literally tweeted that.
Are you serious? Who? I've been scooped.
Someone had tweeted that.
Oh, well, there you go.
But it's true. Like,
my brilliant brain.
Her version of the national anthem, like, it has implications that are far-reaching, like, far beyond, like, what it just, like, oh, my God, what a drunk mess of a person, lol. It's right. Like, no, this is, like, where we are at.
We're the Fergie national anthem.
We are all that's collectively. Us. America is the Fergie national anthem.
We're a star.
And we need to wake up! Wake up!
Wake
like,
up!
Wake up! Up! Like, it is... This is, like, dire straits. I was like, this, like, is, like, a meaningful... This is, like, a bad omen.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
Totally.
Yeah. So, anyways... That was like crazy. Let's talk about Sex and the City 3 because there was an update.
What is it?
That felt very babe to me.
Okay. Sure.
The guy who plays Smith Jared.
Oh, I fucking read this.
Yeah. He like went on some show and then was asked about Sex and the City 3. And he said, listen, I would have to say that Sarah was always just so lovely and a consummate professional, and I think people should remember their graciousness and the things that have been given to them. And I'm going to stop there because I have nothing good to say.
Meanwhile, he goes off stage and Sarah Jessica Parker writes him a check for $40,000 and it's like, thank you so much.
But I'm also like, lol, as if you matter in the crazy whole scheme of things. Like, whatever your name is, Smith Jared, actor, like, no one cares about you. You probably weren't even in the Sex and the City 3 movie to begin with. So, like, stand down. I truly don't care about him.
He was bad. He was a really bad actor.
He's a terrible actor.
Played kind of a stupid guy, so it worked in his favor. Like, he was a bad actor, but he was supposed to be like kind of a stilted person.
Yeah, and it was like fine, but I'm also like, in the grand scheme of things, you're like a nobody, and truly no one cares about your opinion.
To me, the Kim versus Sarah thing, they both look crazy.
No, they both are babes.
They both look like total babes.
Yeah,
like, to me, honestly, I don't. The pendulum does not swing one way or the other for me. It just is what it is.
Yeah. There was that like Daily Mirror article that said that they were going to kill Kim Cattrall's character. They were going to kill Samantha and replace her with Sharon Stone or Kim Basinger.
Yeah. And you sent that to me in a group text and I said, please take me off this group text.
Yeah. Although, Ryan's been like so prickly this week.
I don't like group texts. I don't.
Anyways.
They give me anxiety.
Just let people reach out to you. Let's talk about... Oh, you wanted to talk about...
What I want to talk about?
Brendan Fraser, which freaks me out.
Yeah, so I read
this amazing... Why do you want to do...
No, because I read this amazing profile about him in GQ that was actually truly incredible. Did you read the profile?
No, I haven't read it.
Oh, honey, you should read it. Basically, like, it's just... I feel like now we are beginning to see more and more of how Hollywood disposes of its actors and how abused they are in a weird way and just kind of turned out. And with Brendan Fraser, he was, you know, the superstar. He was in the Mummy movies and then he kind of disappeared and kind of explained in the article that his body was wrecked from doing those movies because he had to do a lot of stunts. And so he had like to have like 7 surgeries. And he also got sexually, I guess, assaulted by this like really powerful man in Hollywood. And that really traumatized him too. And I don't know. It's like the business, you know, it chews you up and it spits you out. And no, it's true. And I feel like people have always looked at actors as living this really glamorous life and being really well treated. And I mean, I'm sure a lot of that's true. But then you also realize that, like, even on sets, like, they're not entirely safe. You have Uma's crash from Kill Bill. You have Rose McGowan on Death Proof, like, hurting herself. Like, I just feel like, and they are, like, they are when they're hot and they're having their moment, they work themselves to death because they're like, oh God, this might never happen again. But they end up really doing damage to themselves physically and emotionally in the long run. So to hear Brendan Fraser kind of speak out about that was, I don't know, it was like really sad. The whole thing was like really sad.
Well, his whole...
I mean, he's working again, so it has kind of a nice ending because he's like working on a lot of things now.
Oh, is he like in a show or something?
Yeah, he's on Trust on FX and he's doing like a lot of other stuff. So he's like back in the game. But I don't know. It just, you would never really understood that. We never saw those behind the scenes.
Well, no, we just saw his evolution from like hot to not.
Yeah. But honey, it's more complicated than that.
Well, I'm glad that it's more complicated than that because I was like truly traumatized by Brendan Fraser being like sexy.
I never thought he was sexy, by the way. I thought he always looked...
He was hot in Encino Man.
Yeah, but that's basically...
He was, like, sexy. Do you know, that's the first time I actually ever used the word sexy. It was after I saw Encino Man.
How old were you?
I was probably, like, 7 or 8 years old, and I'd had 2 girls over to spend the night, and then we, like, watched Encino Man, and then I said, Pauly Shore and Brendan Fraser, sexy. And then
God, Pauly Shore,
and
sexy.
Then they just... That's unwell. They just stared at me, and, like, it was awkward that I had said that.
Yeah, that is very awkward. Pauly Shore being sexy. I thought, by the way, growing up, that Pauly Shore was definitely gay. I was like,
really?
This is a gay man. Yeah, he just read so gay to me.
I was so into Pauly Shore growing up.
I was like, God,
up.
Hollywood is so awesome for taking a chance on an out actor.
I was so like, I thought he was like the hottest, funniest.
Ew, he's so mediocre.
He was like so hot to me.
A great time to be a mediocre straight white male comedian.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still a great time.
No, it's always a great time.
It's always a great time, but it was exceptionally, like, it was like.
Yeah, the 90s were really kind.
Mediocre straight white male gold
to white male mediocrity.
Oh, for sure.
Pauly Shore was like my sexual icon.
Did we talk about how Dane Cook's dating a 19-year-old? Speaking of straight white male.
Can we talk about mediocre straight white men for a hot second? Because I never brought this up on the podcast, but like a month ago, I went with our friend Ryan to a show. Not you.
Not me.
Went to a comedy show at the Comedy Store, and he was like, come see this show. Like, it's going to be like me and my med school friends, like having a night out. And I was like, yeah, fun. And we go, and it literally is the darkest lineup of the century. It was some old guy that made a lot of like Me Too jokes.
Ew.
Then it was, oh, actually a really funny guy who was in Half Baked that played like the Kenny, the one that goes to jail. And he was actually hysterical. Okay, he was funny. Then it was Jeremy Piven.
No.
Who's just trying to like work out his foray into stand up. He was like, I've done this four times. He was terrible and disgusting. Awkward. It was so awful. And then Dane Cook, who is truly bone chilling. Like, I've never been more like traumatized and weirded. I was just like, this is like a straight male. And they all were making like Me Too jokes. That's they were all gross. Like shitting on Me Too.
Yeah, so like this movement, it's such good fodder for my comedy.
No, they were like, it was like they, none of them could like, except the Kenny, the funny one, was just like, he was hysterical, but everyone else was like, truly, it was like so gross. I was like, that's, I need to take a 47-minute shower and like scrub this white male.
But also with Dane Cook, it's truly lol because Hollywood really tried to make him an A-list celebrity in like the early 2000s.
He was an A-list celebrity.
No, he kind of wasn't, babe, because he got these roles, but like his movies never made any money, and it was literally like
they did. Hollywood, they definitely did.
Well, then where'd he go?
What world are you living in? His movies made money, babe. He was an A-list celebrity.
I'm sorry, Employee of the Month with Jessica Simpson.
Yeah, but he was in other movies that like made money.
But he fizzled out. He fizzled out. And I'm sorry,
his plastic surgery
forget it. But you have to fuck up so badly as like a straight white male comedian for like America, for like you to be delivered to America, and America's like, no. like you have to be so bad for like to be rejected, because you like that's the easy pass. Like, to be a successful straight white male comedian is not hard.
Yeah.
Like,
well, it might be hard.
Mm.
In either case, he's like, he's a bloated mess. All of them are disgusting. Bloated messes.
And he's dating a 19-year-old. I heard gay rumors.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
There's a lot of like gay white guys that are like masquerading as straight in stand-up comedy.
Honestly, a 19-year-old beard, that's a great beard.
Yeah.
19-year-olds don't know shit. It's like a Raquel. Yeah.
It's just like, I couldn't believe that night of comedy. I was like, what is this? And then, there was a gay couple that we were there with. Oh. And
a gay male?
Yeah, like two gay guys that were together. They might have just been friends or they were together, but it was like two gay guys in the group of people that we went with. Uh-huh. And all these comedians were like making gay jokes and like just like teasing the fuck out of them.
Wait, are you kidding?
No, it got like uncomfortable at certain points.
Wait, that is insane. The Comedy Store's in West fucking Hollywood.
I know, but babe, they came for...
That's fucking embarrassing.
Yeah, it was psychotic.
I hate that.
The whole night was just like, I was like, I need to drink half a bottle of wine to like deal with this trauma.
Sure.
And I was like, then I'll never date again.
Oh, okay. Moving on. Moving on. I'm scared. Ah!
Hey.
Shh. What?
Shh.
Oh, look. It's like red.
Yeah. What the fuck, Ryan? You're going to blow people's eardrums off.
Whenever we were making fun of Jonathan's scream yesterday.
Because whenever Jonathan gets like flustered or surprised, he doesn't just like...
It's like Flanders in The Simpsons.
Yeah, he's like...
Okay, so listen. So we obviously sleep together every night. Not to brag. But when like he gets so startled when he's sleeping. The other day I just sneezed. I like woke up and I sneezed. And he was like... I went, achoo. And he goes... And I was like, he's like, intruder. I was like, no, honey, I just sneeze. Like, calm down.
Jonathan's a babe when it comes to getting scared.
He gets startled
really easily.
So badly.
He dropped, like, something on the floor yesterday, and he was like,
ah! I know, it's true.
You, what a cutie.
My little cutie. My little darling.
People want justice. The readers want justice for Jonathan.
I said this on your bonus episode, but I ran into a fan of Babe yesterday.
Oh,
can
yeah.
Can I cross-post this?
Yeah, you can cross-post.
For people that don't read the Sex and the City bonus episode. Or sorry, Sex and the City. Oh my God. Lol. Sexy Unique Podcast. Mm-hmm. So I was like having like a weird like hungover afternoon moment yesterday, just like lounging, like walking around the neighborhood with my friend Claire, and we saw an open house on Laurel, and I love going to open houses. Love. And it was like a $3 million kind of like modern death box. I mean, it was good. It was just sort of like when you buy like in Beverly Grove, there's like nowhere to go.
But that's also too expensive. It's like too expensive. You can get it's a house expensive. In Los Feliz for like $2 million. That's huge.
It's not worth it because you go in there and it's a nice house.
I say that as like though like class like duh. But it's like also I'm never buying a house.
But it was a 2-bedroom house, which is crazy. A $3 million house with 2 bedrooms.
How many square feet?
I don't know. Anyway, but like the point is like we were there like living, laughing, and loving, and then I always feel kind of weird because I'm like, oh, do they know that I don't, can't afford this? I'm sure they do.
Whatever. And like, that's probably most of the people that go into open houses.
That's true. And this guy, like, we're upstairs in the master bedroom, and I hear this, like, pitter-patter of footsteps. And he was like, hey, like, this, the real estate agent was like, hey, you like this house? And I was like, yeah. He goes, do you think it's a babe? And I was just like, oh. I was like, what? Like, why is he saying that? That's so weird. And he's like, I'm a big fan. Da-da-da-da. Like, love the podcast. I know. And I was like, what a little sweetie.
I love that.
I was like, want to give me this house for $20?
Yeah. Can I squat here?
Can I get the fan discount?
Yeah.
But he was so sweet. I loved it.
That's darling.
I love seeing babes out in the wild.
Shout out to the babe real estate agent.
Yeah, totally. Like,
love and light.
Little sweetie. Oh, little cutie.
Live, laugh, love, babe.
Yeah. And he DM'd me afterwards, and he was like, I wanted to greet you with my darling, my darling,
my darling.
And Jonathan was kind of trolled by that. He was like, my darling's for us.
That
was,
is for you guys.
Like, I love saying my darling. My trainer and I say my darling together. I'll be like, he's like, you want to get the weights? My darling. And he's like, okay. He's like, my darling, you did a good job, my darling.
Oh,
my trainer loves saying my darling.
Love.
I know. I'm sad. He's going away for 2 months to train Ben Affleck.
That is sad.
I know.
That is actually devastatingly sad.
I know.
But good luck with his projects.
Yeah.
And also chic for him.
No, totally chic. Are you kidding?
So what was I going to say? Oh, what? A merch update is that our merch is coming along.
Oh, yeah. We need to look at that.
There will be babe merch.
Soon-ish.
Soon-ish, yeah. But we've, like, managed to come to, like, find an agreement and a common ground. And it's been a good exercise for us.
It has.
I took a personality.
It's been an exorcism.
Yeah, it's been an exorcism. I took a personality test that this week.
Did I just say, Gemini, 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 Gemini?
Because a reader had added me on Twitter and was like, what's your personality type? And then I was like, I'll take the
what
test.
Does that mean? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Like the ENJ, whatever it is.
Myers-Briggs or whatever.
Yeah. And so I took it, but then I was really noticing about myself, like when I was answering stuff with like working in groups with people that like,
yeah,
I'm really a babe when it comes to,
you are a babe.
Like, I don't put the group first. I definitely put myself.
Well, your issue with the merch, I think, was that we have very different styles, but I would never...
Very different.
But I would not say that, like, your style is wrong or my style is wrong. They're just
no,
different.
I don't think that either.
But I feel like your attitude in the beginning was that you didn't like my version, so my version was incorrect. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think, well, it's like if because my barometer for like everything that I've done in my life has been like, do I like this? Does it make me laugh? And then that's how I know it's good. And that's like served me for a long time.
Right.
But it also doesn't serve me in ways. And that's like my eyes are becoming open to the moments when that doesn't serve me. And that is when you're working on like a group project with someone else. You really have to like... It's not, it was just the personality I said this question that was like, when you're working in a group, is it more important for you to be right or for like things to go well in the group? And I was like, to be right, then I was like, oh, babe.
Yeah.
So it's like a self-babe awareness moment. Yeah, but the good news is that our merch is going well. Yeah. And I'm excited to share it.
Yeah, me too.
The first collection.
I'm excited to see if anyone will buy it.
Same.
It's a little scary, to be honest.
Everyone's I think like, the readers will like it.
Yeah, but let's see if they buy it. It's like a different thing.
Well, I think by like it, I mean I think they'll buy it.
All right. We'll see.
Readers, you better buy it.
My mortgage is on the line.
Let's talk about Babe of the Week.
So Babe of the Week is Anthony from Queer Eye. I've watched every single episode of Queer Eye. I love it. I cry almost every episode.
Yeah.
One thing I really can't get over. Well, there's two things. Let's talk about the one minor thing. The guy who does culture, who I'm not sure what his job is, but basically it's just been like therapist. I think that's his role. Like he just drives around in the truck with like the person that he's helping.
Yeah.
And he just like has like deep talks with him. Like that's.
And he made that one guy that was like still kind of closeted to his stepmother. Like,
yeah.
He made him do like a ropes course, which yeah. I was like, how is this culture? Like,
yeah, it's a lot of TBD stretches, but I don't know. Like, so like, and it, my favorite thing though is that when they show them working on the project, like they'll show like the guy who actually does things, like the design guy, like, you know, like at the construction site.
Yeah.
And then they'll show, I don't know, Jonathan Van Ness, like doing hair stuff or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then it will show to the culture guy and he'll just be like talking on his cell phone. Literally, like, he'll just be like, boo, 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 and you're like, what is that?
Yeah.
But, like, it's like also like, what does he do? Like TBD.
But he's not your babe of the week.
No, he's not. Anthony is. And I know that like, you know, gay Twitter has exploded with Anthony. I think.
But we are an Anthony truther.
I'm an Anthony truther, which is that he does not cook. He doesn't know how to cook.
No.
He does not know how to cook. He is someone who probably was like on a casting call. He's an instigator that they
sexy.
Made. Yeah, he's an instigator that they made like hold a spatula and be like abracadabra. You're
yeah,
cool.
They're like
he taught him once to like make sangria and he used the word macerated twice and he said it like how a not smart person knows one big word so they overuse it to show that they're smart.
Mm-hmm.
That's like he was like, well, you know, then you macerate the strawberries and it was like, but see these strawberries, they're macerated. I'm like, honey. Just because you use the word macerate doesn't mean you know how to do anything.
He like melted cheese in a bowl and then cut up vegetables. He was like, yum.
He put yogurt in guacamole, which is just psychotic. Sinful and psychotic.
Yeah, that's actually insane.
It's insane. He made hot dogs. There was like, I mean, it's just insane. He literally made hot dogs. And it's like all it's dips. It's all like fancy dips that he makes.
Yeah.
But honey, he's the dip.
Yeah.
He's the dip.
So we are both...
We're Anthony truthers,
yeah. And we need him to admit what we all know to be true,
which is that he's not a chef.
You're not a chef.
You're a cook.
You're not a chef.
He's not even a cook. So
no, he's not a cook.
You're not a chef.
You're not a cook.
Not a chef. Yeah.
Submit it.
Not a cook.
My friend, Gwyneth.
What you say about my friend, Gwyneth? Gwyneth Paltrow?
You're not a chef. You're not a cook. Satchels of gold. My babe of the week is two babes.
Oh, what is it?
Lord and Jack Antonoff.
Oh, right. We need to talk about that.
Because they're doing a babe out thing that I love to watch, but I hate to watch because...
Also, Lord is like 20, which is prime babe age.
Oh, it's
that's
when you're...
prime babe age.
You really reach your babe peaks at age 20.
You really do.
Yeah, early 20s, there's like, when are you not babying?
Yeah, exactly.
So they're, like, after the rumors came out about, like, that... there were rumblings of like, oh, maybe they're like together, maybe they're
which
not.
Which were substantiated by her psychotic happy birthday message to him on Instagram.
Yeah. Then Jack came out and he was like, for the record, I'm not dating anyone. I'm not.
Fuck this
like,
heteronormative bullshit.
Yeah.
I hate how he's like, he's a woke joke to me. He is a woke joke.
He is. But then this week they were pictured in New Zealand, like basically having a love fest. Like she's throwing her arms around him.
Yeah.
They're like together. They're like live laughing and loving and like in a relationship. And then she got on some Q&A thing and then she was like, for the last time, we are just friends. We are not dating. And it's like, you guys are both protesting way too much.
You know what's
happening? And also, you're eventually going to come out and be like,
you know
we
what's
are, but they're
though.
Just trying to get more attention.
No, but you know what's happening is that Jack is probably fucking her and being like, you can't tell anyone. Like, we're not a couple. Like, I'm sorry. I think that Jack is probably taking Lord for a fuckboy ride. And all I have to say is, honey, wear your seatbelt.
You think so?
Yeah. She's going to keep on. Honey, you're going to wait for that.
Well, she's obviously like obsessed with him.
She's going to be waiting for that green light for a long time.
And then he looks like an asshole for going down this road because he literally like would not be anyone.
He
wouldn't exist if it weren't for Lena Dunham.
No, I know.
I'm sorry, but that's true.
32? Is he like, and you're dating a 20-year-old? He's like, that is also, if you're 32 and you're dating a 20-year-old, that's prime fuckboy because when you're 20, you fall for all the fuckboy antics. You're so like, susceptible to like garbage. And so when you're 32, you can just be your full garbage self and not be challenged.
But I think that eventually they are going to both come out and be like, we are dating. And it's just annoying because it's like, why not just be real about it or go off the radar completely? Like, don't just like, it's like, and you know, they kind of love the attention and love, like,
oh, for sure.
Anytime that you're being like, I'm not doing that, is like, you love it and you love saying you're not doing it.
It's heteronormative bullshit. It's like, shut up.
So they're two babes.
Bozo.
Two babes and a babe peas and babes a babe pod. Yeah.
A babe pod.
Let's read some reader mail.
Reader mail.
Reader mail. Reader mail. Let's all read some reader mail. Hi, Ryan and Lara. I'm reaching out to show you the terrifying email my sociopath of an ex sent me on Valentine's Day after I blocked his number a couple months ago. He is truly a burning pile of trash and a total babe. And while this email seemed to be some sort of bizarre attempt at manipulation, it actually just resulted in an eye roll followed by a lol. Anyways, for your reading pleasure, here it is. Happy Valentine's Day, buddy. One fun memory that I have is farting in front of you for the first time last year. I think I was butt naked when I did it, as were you. You quickly said, didn't know we were there yet, but solid, and laughed. That's something that has always been excellent about you, your ability to go with it and laugh at extremism. I hope you keep that trait forever. That email?
Yeah, that's a weird thing to
say. Having your ex reach out to you and be like, I loved when I farted in front of you and you just laughed, and I love that you love extremism.
Extremism.
First of all, it's not...
Yeah, that's not an extremist. Like, you're
the extremist thing that you did was write this email.
Right.
And like, farting...
And loving your extremism. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
I'm truly like... I truly believe in like a no fart policy in a relationship.
That's stupid and unrealistic, and I hate that.
Why?
I fart constantly in front of Jonathan. I don't care. I don't care. Who cares? I'm so tired of it. Like, just let it all hang out. Who cares?
I care. You did not start off dating him farting in front of him.
No, but now we are because we've been together for 3 years. Who cares? I'm not into holding in farts, emotional or otherwise.
But I just think I don't love, like, I mean, maybe once in a while is a lol, but I'm just also not a farter.
I think it's more about like, gender, TBH. I think that, like, a woman can't fart. Like, a woman has never farted.
I mean, I know, like, straight friends of mine who are in relationships that, like, fart in front of each other. But yeah. I was also traumatized at a young age with a fart that I wish I could take back that I feel, like, affected, like, a friendship. So it was, like, in grade school. And this, like, really popular girl named Elaine invited me over to her house to spend the night. And I was, like, so excited because she was popular. And I was like, oh, my God, this is my in. Like, we're doing it. We're going to be friends. Like, this is amazing. And I went over to her house to spend the night. And we spent the night. And then the next day, woke up. And it was weird because I was, like, still, like, little. Like, not – I was still, like, not – clear on sleeping in, like, right. I'd never slept in before, and so I was like woke up at like 8 a.m ready to like rock and roll, but she was just sleeping, and so then she just slept for like three more hours, and I was like,
God, I hate that when you're like,
I was like, is she ever gonna wake up? And I kind of tried to be like but then it was not happening.
I hate that. Oh my
god. So then finally we like got up at 11, and then we were playing a board game together, and like just like playing, and like my mom was gonna pick me up in like an hour or something, and we played, and then I farted, and then we just looked at each other, and I knew in that moment that she would never invite me over to her house again, and she really? Never did.
Oh no.
And that fart reverberated, and I was forever traumatized by that. I was like, I farted this friendship away.
Oh no. If that's what it took, then it wasn't worth having anyway.
Okay. I know, but I was just like,
okay.
I fully was like, we're not going to be friends because of this fart.
Well, fuck. I would just go and fart on her again.
No.
All these years later, you fly to wherever she lives.
I wonder if she remembers.
You're like justice.
I wonder if she remembers the fart. I would be intrigued to know. And I would also be intrigued to know if I was the one that like mentally made it so that we're not friends again. Like if I just thought, like, perpetuated that lie to myself, and like, she doesn't even remember and doesn't care. And she was like, wow, Lara never was friends with me again. Like, or if I'm the one, like, I want to know.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like you have a lot to work with.
I have a lot to unpack.
I have a fart that haunted me. I was 24 and, or 25, 24 maybe. And I had been getting sent these pilots To watch because of whatever. So I got the girl's pilot before it aired, mm-hmm. which actually was really interesting because watching that pilot before any of the think pieces, it's like you kind of just get to enjoy it as a piece of entertainment.
Yeah.
Rather than like whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so I invited my friend Caitlin over and my friend Mark, and we were all sitting on my couch, and one of them said something funny and I laughed and I farted. And mm-hmm. it was like I was not close with Mark. It was just not okay. And I felt so fucking bad. And I still think about it. Honestly.
Yeah. Whenever like an accidental fart happens with someone that you don't know, it's like truly traumatic.
It's traumatizing. And I remember I met up with fucking Mark at like the Chateau Marmont like a few months ago. And all I could think of was like, oh my God, I farted on my couch next to you.
Oh my God, I hate that.
And like, it just will always troll me.
Okay, I'm with you. Like, I think if you're in a relationship for a long time and a fart happens, it's like, whatever. But I'm not going to be like going out of my way to like fart just like egregiously in front of like my partner. But like, so I dated this guy like for a couple months last year, and it was like a long distance thing. And so we would like meet up and like go like have like little vacations and stuff together to like hang out. And we really like right off the bat when we just started dating, we went on this camping trip and he was like farting the entire time.
What are you talking about?
He like it was like he what? Was just like farting tons, openly farting.
Did like, you say anything?
Openly, like, we were staying in an RV, so we had, like, very close quarters, and it's, like, we're sleeping in the RV and then, like, going out hiking during the day, cooking food at night, and then sleeping in the RV. He'd, like, wake up and fart, and then, like...
No.
Yes, like...
Would you say anything?
I was just traumatized. I didn't know what to do, because I was, like, A, I didn't know him well enough to know, like, what his... lol meter was on like
right.
if I can be like, can you please not do that? Also, it's like he put together this vacation and right. like rented the RV, so I don't want to be like a bitch and be like, can you not fart in
but
the RV?
Like, whoa,
but also like don't fart
move. That's a bold move.
So he kept farting and kept farting. We were camping for like 3 days and he's just like farting, and it's truly like gross. It's truly grossing me out. I'm like, I first don't understand. I'm like, does this person not like me? Is that why right. they're farting in front of me? Because like that would be something I would do to someone right. that I didn't
of
like.
Course,
that
that's
much.
A sign. Yeah. yeah.
And like at one point he was like leaning down to like make a fire and then farted. And I was like, oh my God. And then he looked me in the eye and farted again. And I was like, I don't know. Like, I was just like at a loss. So the whole trip goes by and he's like farting it up and I'm truly just like bone chilled and I don't know what to do. And then at the end of the trip, I was like, we're sitting in the fire. We'd like just eaten dinner. And I was like, so like, tell me, what was your like highlight of the trip? And like, what was your low light? And he's like, well, the highlight was like hiking up to this like hot spring, whatever. And he's like, the low light was like how much I farted in front of you. And I was like, what? Like, you actually are like, you're embarrassed by that? And he's like, well, yeah. And I was like, well, why did you keep doing it? Like, why did you do it? You did it like 40 times. Yeah. Like, you made eye contact with me
yeah.
and then farted while our eyes were locked looking at each other. Like,
yeah,
you sure didn't
what
seem.
What was his excuse?
He was like, I thought you didn't hear them.
No.
Yes.
Wait. Are you kidding me?
He was like, I thought I kept it hidden. I was like, no, you literally would stand up
wait,
and fart first thing in the morning.
That's actually very bizarre. You know when a fart is hidden or not. It either makes a sound or it doesn't. It's either silent or not silent.
Yeah.
There's two genres of farts. And for him to have farts
he
that
thought
are not,
that I, he thought he was hiding it.
That is,
and I was like,
that's psychotic. I would have known then that it would have been.
Well, okay. that I was like.
I was like, that is psychotic.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I was like, A, you did not hide it ever. And B, like. If you need to do what you need to do, like, just walk 10 to 15 feet away from me and then do it. Like, I don't understand.
I hate holding in farts, though, man. It's the worst.
Well, then go walk away and fart somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't.
yeah.
Like, handle your business. Like, by all means, like, fart. But don't, like, don't lock eye contact.
No, that's bizarre.
That's insane.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
And I understand, like, one slipping through. Like, we've all been there, clearly. But, like. A truly, like, it was so much farting. I was just like, he's trying to send me a message right now.
Bottoms don't have like the luxury to like conceal farts sometimes. Like, sometimes you just, I mean, I'm sorry, like, we are getting fucked in the ass. Like, stuff is happening. Like, you can't, when I think of like gay guys and like somehow some of them and how manicured they are and how like fussy, and I'm like, you eat asshole for a living. Like, come on. I have dinner at 8:45 tonight. That's such a weird time to have it. I know. I'm going to be so hungry. What?
Here's a good one.
What?
Anna writes us, "Hi, Lara and Ryan. I had a major babe moment this morning when I was listening to your podcast on my way to work. When you started talking about showers and Lara described the one from the hotel, which sounded like a palace of cleanliness that I would literally live in, I suddenly decided that I absolutely needed to, that very moment, call my boss and tell him I was in the hospital before turning the car around, going back home to take the world's longest shower. Love the podcast. What? You guys are truly law-abiding citizens, XOX."
No. Wait, I'm obsessed. I love that we're inspiring people to just call into work and say, but also that's
in the hospital.
In the hospital, honey. You could have dialed that back a little bit.
Well, I mean, sometimes you ought to make it known.
I love it. I hope it was worth it. I hope that shower was amazing.
I hope it was amazing. I think it probably was.
It was incredible.
Yeah. You know what is a really good excuse? Shower, though. You get one of these excuses per job that you ever have, but here's a life hack from me to you, is just tell whoever that you have diarrhea.
Oh yeah.
And then they can't argue with that, and it's like an embarrassing enough admission that it's like you're confiding. Oh yeah, absolutely.
You won't fart in front of someone, but you'll say that you have diarrhea.
Yeah, if it's a fake.
I don't know where your lines are drawn. I get confused.
What? If I have to make a fake diarrhea story to get out of something, I'm fine with that.
Okay.
I'll take the hit.
All right.
Anyways. Oh, we actually have a really good email too.
Okay.
This is from a reader who wants to remain anonymous, and the subject is Sephora follow-up.
Oh, wow.
"Hey, babes. Part-time Sephora employee here who also cries daily at the price tags of the skincare game. Sephora does not resell products that are returned when used. We damage them out. Our official policy is that we can't accept something back more than 50% used, but a manager can override that. Of course, I cannot officially support the skincare return scam this fellow babe is running on my employer. I have to say, this babe is not fooling anyone. It's evident when someone is running a return scam, but TBH, there's nothing we can do about it because of the policy. Godspeed."
Wow. I love a loophole.
I love a loophole.
Wow.
So I love also that it's not, no one's being fooled, and it's like a complicit scam on both companies.
But like no one, you can't do anything. That's so
chill.
I
love
that.
It. Sure. Yeah. Also, shout out to Kate, a reader and a friend from childhood who sent me a ton of products.
Oh, I wanted to have some of that.
No.
Why didn't I get it?
Because
it came to my house.
I know, because I was out of town.
You stole my house!
Because I was out of town and I needed it to come somewhere. It's Natura Bisse. It's the same stuff that John Mayer uses.
It's for me, too.
It's making me feel really flawless.
You're such bullshit. That is for me, too.
I'm not going to get it to you.
You stole my skincare.
I did steal it.
That is fucked up.
Babe, I need it.
Well, I want it, too.
Maybe I'll let you try.
Is there a mask?
There is.
Oh, let's do the mask.
Okay. "You dangled a Hanukkah moment in front of me and then took it away. You dangled a La Mer moment in front of me and took it away. So now I'm taking the Natura Bisse and it's mine now."
These skincare wars are getting so ruthless.
They are ruthless.
I fucking hate it.
I love it.
I'm kind of over it.
You have like your whole regimen. I asked you.
You know
and
what?
I don't. And
you know that I got Shawnee Darden retinol?
Oh, you did? Is it good?
I haven't used it yet because I'm scared.
Babe, just use it once a week.
Just sitting there.
I want some.
No.
Fine. Then no Natura Bisse for you.
Fine.
And it's solved.
We've cracked the case. Yeah.
So what do we leave our readers with? Words of wisdom.
Oh, I don't know. Words of babedom.
Words of babedom.
I don't know.
Keep your weight gain to your damn self.
Yeah. Keep your weight gain. Talking about your weight gain is a major babe.
It's a major babe, comma. I don't want to hear that.
Today, I was in an Uber, and the girl goes, "So what's your day looking like today?" And I wanted to roll out the car. I wanted to have a parachute.
You hit the eject button. You're like, poof, like, out the back.
"What's your day looking like today?" I was
What did you say?
I was like, I don't know. I didn't want to say the reality, which is that I'm recording a podcast. And then I don't know. I'm going to dinner.
All right. Write us emails. Babepodcast@gmail.com.
Do they know about the Facebook group or is that private?
I don't know. We don't run it, so it's not. It's like an unofficial. I did join.
No, they should join.
Oh, yeah. Join it. It's a place where all the babes connect with each other.
Live, laugh, love, babe.
Live, laugh, love, babe. And then follow us on Instagram at Babe Podcast.
Oh, yeah. That being said, we're gone.
We gotta go.
Bye-bye.
Bye.